Imagine a rabbit, but I don't want you picturing a cute, fluffy, twitchy little bunny nervously nibbling on a carrot.
Right, definitely not.
Imagine a rabbit built like a middleweight boxer. I mean, he is thick-necked, he is perpetually grumpy, and he is currently being pelted in the head with acorns by a gang of hyperactive squirrels.
It's quite the visual.
It really is. Nature documentaries and cartoons have spent decades programming us to expect a very specific dynamic. You know, the fast, aggressive predator chasing the panicked, helpless prey.
Yeah, the classic setup.
But today, we are throwing that entirely out the window.
Yeah.
So, welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Our mission today is to explore the creative process and the behind-the-scenes interview notes from a brand new animated project called Tactics and Teeth: The Bullish Rabbit's Revenge.
Such a great title.
Right. We are looking at how the creators took a typically timid prey animal and transformed him into an absolute master tactician. Okay, let's unpack this. Because the core concept of Tactics and Teeth is a world where the hierarchy of the forest isn't decided by teeth and claws, it's decided by ego and engineering.
And achieving that shift in hierarchy was incredibly demanding on a technical level.
Oh, I bet.
The creator's notes describe this project as a massive labor of love, specifically highlighting the sheer volume of late-night rendering required.
Rendering takes forever, yeah.
Exactly. And when animators talk about rendering taking weeks or months, they aren't just talking about making things look pretty, they are calculating physics.
Right.
They're calculating how light bounces off dense, matted fur versus light, fluffy tails. They're simulating weight and gravity to visually achieve a very specific subversion of the rules of nature.
So they are essentially reprogramming the physics engine of a forest to reflect a totally different power dynamic.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
That is fascinating. To understand how ego and engineering actually rule this particular forest, we really have to look at the character designs that fuel the conflict.
The foundation of it all.
Yeah, the development notes call this the muscle versus numbers dynamic. Let's introduce you to the protagonist, the bullish rabbit.
Like I said, he is built like a tank.
Absolute unit.
Seriously. He has this heavy, grounded presence, and his only real goal in life is to sit in his favorite patch of clover and be left in absolute peace.
And you can see the technical execution of that grounded presence in the animation style itself. In traditional animation, there is a core principle called squash and stretch.
Oh, like when a character jumps and they kind of elongate.
Exactly. It's what gives characters that bouncy, elastic, hyperkinetic feel. Think of classic cartoons where a character hits the ground and flattens out like a pancake, then snaps back.
Yeah.
Well, the creators completely strip squash and stretch away from the rabbit. He doesn't bounce. When he takes a step, the animation emphasizes the heavy, rigid thud of his mass hitting the dirt. So no cartoon physics for him.
None. You don't look at this rabbit and think prey. You look at him and think, do not disturb.
Which brings us to the ones doing the disturbing, the Squirrel Squad.
The troublemakers.
They are the antagonists of this story, and they are essentially the polar opposite of the rabbit. We have a lead squirrel who the notes describe as a fast-talking, high-twitch instigator.
Just vibrating with energy.
Right, and he is backed up by an entire squad of squirrel friends who communicate using these rhythmic, erratic clicks.
It's basically an auditory assault.
It really is. The opening scene paints this picture perfectly. The squirrels are sitting way up in the high branches, acting exactly like playground bullies. They're looking down at this thick-necked rabbit, mocking his size, and throwing acorns with what the creators call professional-grade accuracy.
Professional grade. I love that detail.
Me too. They are treating this boxer rabbit like a slow-moving target practice dummy.
It's a brilliant way to establish the conflict instantly, entirely through kinetic energy and verticality.
Just showing, not telling.
Precisely. You have the fast, twitchy energy of the squirrels raining down chaos from the canopy, directly contrasting with the heavy, stoic energy of the rabbit who is stuck on the ground, just taking the hits. The animators actually cranked up the frame rate for the squirrel's movements to make them look almost jittery, buzzing with adrenaline, while the rabbit remains practically static.
It's a very familiar dynamic, you know. It's the hyper-athletic, fast-moving Billies picking on the grumpy kid who just wants to quietly eat his lunch.
Shop class kid vibes.
Exactly. But here's where I found myself getting a bit hung up while reading through these source notes. I want to push back on the rabbit's physical reaction to
Okay,
this.
go for it.
If he is literally built like a middleweight boxer, thick-necked and pure muscle, why is he just taking it?
It seems counterintuitive, right?
Yeah. Shouldn't he just walk over, punch the tree trunk, and shake him all out of the branches?
Yeah.
It feels like he could end the bullying in 5 seconds with sheer force.
That is precisely the assumption the audience makes, and it's why the character design is basically a trap for our expectations. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the rabbit's restraint is our first major clue to his true nature.
Okay.
The creators explicitly state that despite his bullish muscular appearance, the rabbit is fundamentally a tactician. He understands the actual physics of the forest.
Meaning what? A punch wouldn't work?
Exactly. Even if he hits that tree with the force of a freight train, squirrels are anatomically built to survive falls and navigate violent movement in the canopy.
Oh, true. They fall out of trees all the time and just bounce.
Right. Hitting the tree does nothing but bruise his own knuckles.
Yeah.
He knows he absolutely cannot outrun, outclimb, or outmaneuver a squirrel up in the branches.
They just have the advantage.
Their high twitch energy and low body mass give them an unbeatable advantage vertically. So he suppresses his natural instinct to fight back aggressively. He realizes he has to change the battlefield.
Bring them down to earth.
Yes, he has to bring the conflict down to the forest floor entirely on his own terms.
So he's looking at the situation, recognizing that fighting on their turf is a guaranteed loss, and just flat out refusing to play their game.
Exactly.
That requires an insane amount of discipline for a character built like a brawler.
It does. It's a silent visual lesson in knowing your own limitations and refusing to let your anger or your ego dictate your strategy.
And that brings us to the setup of the chase, which is really the core of this entire animation. The rabbit knows the squirrels have the high ground and the speed.
Right.
If he can't fight them in the trees, and he won't fight them physically on the ground, how does he defeat an aerial assault from a highly coordinated squad?
That's the million-dollar question.
He weaponizes their greatest asset against them.
He does this through engineering. The source material details how the creators spent a massive amount of time developing the specific aesthetic of the rabbit's traps.
Yeah, they didn't want him using like high-tech gadgets or shiny metal contraptions.
No, they wanted a very specific, rustic Rube Goldberg aesthetic.
The notes actually mention the traps look like they were built by a grumpy hermit.
Which fits him perfectly.
It really does. We are talking about intricately tied twine, bent saplings under immense tension, hollowed out logs balanced on smooth river rocks. It is incredibly grounded, but mathematically complex beneath the surface.
Which is a perfect physical manifestation of the rabbit's personality. Heavy, practical, and highly calculated.
So the chase unfolds.
Right.
The rabbit deliberately incites the squirrels to come down from the canopy, and the squirrels, being fast and twitchy, immediately take the bait.
To court, they do.
They chase him through the forest floor. And because they are so much faster, they close the distance quickly. This fuels a massive spike in their overconfidence.
They think they have it in the bag.
Exactly. They genuinely believe they are winning the chase because they are easily dodging natural obstacles and moving at top speed.
But they aren't winning.
No, they are being meticulously funneled. Here's where it gets really interesting because the physical traps, the twine, and the bent saplings, those are visually stunning to watch. But the real trap isn't made of wood.
No, it's not.
The real trap is the squirrel's own ego. It's psychological warfare. It's like watching a master close-up magician, you know?
Oh, that's a great comparison.
A great magician will hold out a deck of cards and force you to pick the exact card they want you to pick. But the trick only works because they make you completely 100% believe that you had free will.
Right.
The rabbit is doing the exact same thing to the squirrels. He is laying out a path that looks like an open sprinting lane to them, but it's actually a predetermined funnel.
What's fascinating here is how the animation visually demonstrates this psychological funnel by playing with the audience's point of view. The creators note that the squirrel's primary asset, that high-twitch speed, becomes the exact mechanism that blinds them.
How so?
There is a real-world psychological concept called target fixation.
Oh, like with race car drivers, where if you stare at the wall you are trying to avoid, you inevitably steer your car right into it.
Precisely. When you are moving at maximum speed, fueled by adrenaline, your brain physically cannot process peripheral information as effectively.
Oh, wow.
Your field of vision radically narrows. You stop seeing the big picture and you only see the target in front of you.
So the rabbit is the target.
Yes. The squirrels are experiencing extreme target fixation. Their ego and their speed literally prevent them from seeing the twine pulled taut across the path, or the bent sapling lying in wait just inches outside their narrowed field of vision.
Because they're only looking at the rabbit.
Exactly. They are blinded by their own perceived dominance.
That is wild. They are so busy clicking at each other, fueled by the thrill of the chase, that they don't even realize they're running through a carefully constructed machine. They think they are hunters, but they are just cogs in the grumpy hermit's Rube Goldberg device. And all of this careful funneling, all of this rustic engineering and psychological manipulation has to lead somewhere.
The big payoff.
It leads to the climax of the animation. And what I love is that the payoff isn't some massive explosion of cartoon violence. It is a masterclass in comedic timing.
It really is. The creators were highly protective of the exact details here to avoid spoilers. The notes mention that the lead creator was sworn to secrecy on the specific mechanics of the punchline.
Right, they didn't want to give away the joke.
However, they did reveal a few crucial hints in the interview.
Mm.
The finale involves a, quote, very specific use of gravity, and it results in a complete loss of dignity for the entire Squirrel Squad.
When you think about it, gravity is the ultimate equalizer for a creature that spends its whole life feeling invincible up in the air.
It really is.
Taking that away from them is brilliant. And the phrase, complete loss of dignity, is just perfect. But what really cements how well this sequence works is the audience reaction during the testing phase.
Oh, the screening notes.
Yeah. The creators noted that during the very first screening, it wasn't the visual of the final trap that broke the audience. It was the sound design.
Interesting.
Specifically, the Foley work. The crisp, sudden sound of the final trap snapping shut, followed immediately by the rabbit's deadpan reaction. That auditory sequence had the entire room in stitches.
Sound design and animation is frequently the unsung hero of comedy. A visual gag is funny, but auditory punctuation forces the audience's brain to bridge a gap for a split second.
It makes it real.
Exactly. That final, definitive snap of wood and twine releases all the kinetic tension that has been building throughout the entire chase. It signals the abrupt, mathematical end of the squirrel's chaotic energy.
Just abruptly cutting off that high twitch motion.
Yes. And the creators' notes regarding this finale are incredibly revealing about their ultimate goal. They emphasize that this entire sequence was never about a fight. It was entirely about the ultimate humiliation of the neighborhood bullies.
So what does this all mean? Because I think this is where Tactics and Teeth stops being just a beautifully rendered animated project and becomes a surprisingly practical strategic blueprint for you, the listener.
Applying the rabbit's logic to the real world.
Exactly. Think about the neighborhood bullies in your own professional or personal life. I am talking about those highly aggressive, fast-moving competitors.
We all know a few of those.
Right. Maybe it's a fast-talking vendor trying to pressure you into a bad deal, a hyper-competitive colleague who dominates every meeting with buzzwords, or an aggressive negotiator who tries to overwhelm you with rapid-fire demands.
They are the squirrels.
They're the squirrels. They operate on high-twitch energy, and they expect you to either panic or try to match their speed.
Which is exactly what the rabbit refused to do.
Right. What the bullish rabbit teaches us is that you do not have to fight those battles on their turf. If you are dealing with a fast-talking competitor, don't try to out-talk them.
Change the battlefield.
Pull them into a structured, slow-moving environment. Force them to communicate entirely through well-documented emails, or drag them into a meticulously detailed spreadsheet.
The corporate equivalent of the forest floor.
Exactly. You change the battlefield to the forest floor. You use structure, strategy, and a deep understanding of their aggressive behavior to strip away their momentum.
This raises an important question, though, about how we fundamentally view conflict resolution in our own lives.
What do you mean?
Well, our default assumption, deeply ingrained by the media we consume, is that the climax of a conflict requires overpowering the opponent aggressively. We think we have to be the loudest or the strongest.
The classic hero punching the villain.
Right. But the creators of this project specifically chose humiliation and structural defeat over violence. They opted for a loss of dignity rather than a physical beatdown.
Which is so much more satisfying.
It is. It proves a profound strategic point. Sometimes outsmarting your opponent, dismantling their strategy with quiet engineering, and stripping away the ego that makes them so aggressive is a far more definitive victory than simply overpowering them.
Wow.
When you take away an aggressor's dignity and their momentum, you completely neutralize their power.
And you do it without ever having to compromise your own nature or exhaust yourself.
Oh, exactly.
The rabbit gets to go right back to his patch of clover. He is still a heavy, grumpy, thick-necked guy, but now he has absolute peace and quiet, because he engineered a situation where the problem solved itself.
It's elegant.
It's brilliant. So to wrap up this deep dive, we have unpacked a genuinely fascinating creative journey today. We have explored a beautifully crafted animated world where a clover-loving rabbit manages to defeat a highly coordinated squad of fast-talking squirrels.
And he achieves this not with his fists, despite his boxer build.
Nope.
But with rustic Rube Goldberg traps made of twine and logs. Most importantly, he wins through a profound tactical understanding of his enemy's own target fixation and inflated ego.
A true tactician.
It is a masterful frame-by-frame subversion of everything we have been taught to expect from a predator and prey chase.
It is a phenomenal piece of storytelling that required immense technical and psychological insight to pull off. And as we leave you today, I want to offer a final thought for you to mull over.
Okay, let's hear it.
The core tragedy of the squirrels in this story is that their defeat was entirely self-inflicted. Their speed and their high vantage point gave them a dangerously inflated sense of superiority.
Their ego was their downfall.
Exactly. That ego triggered a tunnel vision that completely blinded them to the meticulously engineered traps lying in plain sight. It makes you wonder, in your own life, your career, or your competitive pursuits, what canopy are you currently sitting in?
Oh, that's a good question.
Where are you feeling invincible, moving at top speed and throwing acorns, completely unaware of the twine and bent saplings being quietly assembled on the ground right beneath you?